Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Hi there. Thanks for joining us today. This is Sharon Hoskins. Janie and I want to encourage you to be strong and very courageous, to rise up, wake up, grow up, and let's get to work. Psalm 119, verses 1 and 2 says, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with their whole heart." So join in the conversation as we discover how blessed are those with a warrior's heart. So I want to start us today and read 2 Timothy 3. Starting in verse 10, it says, "But you have fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me in Antioch, Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all, the Lord delivered me."
Yes, and I love sometimes when we take different emphasis on a word and let's say give it a punch, and out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Now, this isn't Paul coming back from the grave and saying, "Oh, let me tell you now that I'm home with the Lord, how He delivered." No, Paul is writing this in real time. He's still here on earth with a ministry, and he knows that he has been forsaken by the very people that he gave his life for in ministry. Mm-hmm. He's been snake bit, shipwrecked, beaten three times, and he didn't win any popularity contest. But somehow he maintained the calling, the vocation that God had put upon him. And he did not lose heart. Now, Sharon, I don't know about you, but if I had been through the experiences that Paul had, I might have a tendency to be a little woe is me.
Well, yeah, I would think so. There was a lot of persecution there.
And just for the record, he had to go it alone.
Yeah.
And there were times that he really said there was no one around but Mark. Now, he said, "I fought the fight, I finished the race, and there is the crowns that are awaiting me." So that's one of the things that we want to amplify. But right now, with the verse that you've just read, we need to hold that verse as we want to put our head in the sand, or we want to be sorrowful, or we want to just quit listening to what's going on around us because it's too much. The Lord wants warriors, Sharon.
Yes, yes.
And Paul was a warrior.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people who don't want to hear what's going on, so they turn off their ears to hear what's happening. And others are saying, "Well, where's God? He's not answering our prayers. He's failing us." I just hear disappointment and aching hearts that are really questioning God's love toward us.
Well, and some of the things that we are hearing with a change in our circumstances, we are hearing of people questioning God's authority. His sovereignty. Mm-hmm. Has he not realized what was going on down here?
So do you think we've become suspicious that he...
You took the words out of my mouth, Sharon. Yes. Are we becoming suspicious of God? And that can happen as we look around in the body of Christ. If the body of Christ was all united now, saying the same thing with a loud, strong voice, there would be strength in numbers. You know, the scripture talks about a twofold cord and a threefold cord is not easily broken.
Yes.
But if the body of Christ is fragmented, if it's like a 1,000-piece puzzle and we've got maybe 200 pieces put together, that would include our salvation and our assurance of our eternity with God. But we've got all these other pieces of a puzzle just laying around, and we can't seem to find the puzzle pieces that are to start to go together. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and while you were saying that, it just makes me wonder if some of the prayers that we've been praying have not been God's will.
Oh.
You know, we have scripture that says that we're co-workers with God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, that assures us that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit and we're co-workers with God. So how do we get on God's game plan? Because it seems like we as the body of Christ are kind of trying to amputate his arm or something, you know?
Well, a good comment. Number one, if God did answer according to our will, then he would be subjected to our will, and that would go against his character.
Which is supposed to be exactly opposite. We should be subjective to his will instead of vice versa.
And he has given us commands for that, of which we have politely refused for the last 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And now the Lord is saying, like a child that is growing up, a child sometimes has to have a greater amount of discipline. Stop and think, Sharon. From birth to maybe 4 or 5 years old, you get up and your priority for the day is to play and to have some good food. And then you just play.
Yeah.
And then the day comes when you have to get your school books together, and then you have to start to work at learning. Now, for some temperaments, that might be, oh, wow, a really exciting adventure. But for many who just like to play, that's a very overwhelming change in your life. Now, apply that very gently to what the Lord is saying. I've given you my grace, my mercy. I've given you protection. I've given you what you needed so that you would be drawn to me, but you just wanted to play.
And I've told you it's time to grow up. I've told you to get your school books and get to the bus stop to school and learn.
But, and don't be late, because now there's a new timing that you must adhere to. So there is a change in a season in a child's life, and that's not bad.
Right.
We certainly wouldn't want them to stay home and play until they're 25 years old. And then think that they may be taking a part of our future in government and business.
I mean, right?
But we probably need to maybe call this lesson growing up in grace.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't know.
All right? So the Lord is saying, I've allowed these changes. I think it's very clear from the scriptures, if you are a student of the prophets, you'll see that he, in his displeasure, when a nation, which is made up of people, but when a nation as a nation chooses to rule totally against the word of God, then he in his graciousness and sovereignty must bring judgment to cleanse and pure. Because otherwise, do you remember the last time that nobody would listen? We had to have individual family doing something that everybody said was crazy, which was building an ark, and the Lord had to start over with eight people because of the hardness, callousness, wickedness.
And
Sharon, let me just point out, it took Noah from what, if I believe my memory is correct, it took him about 100 years to get that ark built. There was plenty of time to observe what Noah was doing, but instead of going and asking Noah, they laughed, they mocked, they ridiculed until the door was closed.
Yeah.
So God in his grace right now is saying, I haven't closed the door on the ark, but I'm letting the waters start to rise. people will you listen?
Wake up.
Wake up.
Wake up.
Don't do the ostrich syndrome. Don't put your head in the sand because the circumstances are too difficult to ascertain.
Well, you know, Janie, it's really interesting because I find that the more we know about the things that are going on around us, the better we are prepared to pray in God's will. So it's not about, you know, really just sticking your nose in the news, but finding out what is going on around you and looking over the hill. What does this mean for not only next week, but next month, next year? What do we see coming down the line? And being wise in preparing our hearts, getting into the Word, knowing what God's Word says and where this is going, and also teaching our children. I really think we need to wake up to the times that are before us.
Well, you said something earlier that I want to go back and just finish answering. We've been talking about it, but you said something about how do we have our prayers answered when they appear to not have been answered of recent. And that is, the Lord has said, I stand by desiring to answer your prayers according to the mind of God. So you need to know my mind. You need to know my heart. And so we can read John 16 and get an awful lot there. And then if we really want to know the mind of God, we need to then go back and see how Jesus prayed back to his Father in John 17.
Now, Janie, do you want me to read any of that?
Well, I'd like for you to read the whole two chapters, but I think we're going to have to let our audience
read that on their own.
Read that on yes. And we may refer back to some verses there, but the gist that we want to get across is, grow up, do not be sorrowful. You can sorrow as you see the bondage that has brought us to this place, but do not sorrow without hope.
Right.
Because Jesus Christ is our hope.
And if we don't have hope, really, Janie, what hope does anyone else have?
Good point.
You know, and that's what I've been encouraged with.
Christ in you, the hope of glory. Mm-hmm. Know your position of what Christ is. But the Bible also tells us hope deferred makes the heart sick.
Oh, that's good.
So I want to give our listeners today, let's start to remove the fear out of our thinking.
Okay.
If you do visit social media sites for different reasons, you don't have to berate somebody with pounding them with things that they can't hear.
Mm-hmm.
But hope is available to all. And we need to keep hope alive. So I've heard a lot of Christians now, and I see where they're coming from. I'm through with social media. I'm through with having anything to do with even seeing what's going on in the world. But who is going to give the world hope if hope is in Jesus Christ if we don't stand up?
Right. Now, if we those who have the hope disappear.
Need to declare it. The hope, the sufficiency, the fact that Jesus Christ delivered Paul from all of his distresses while he was still alive.
Yeah.
Tells us that Paul had the right focus, and that's the focus that we need. So our words matter, Sharon.
Yeah, and I think it's very important for us to be careful that we don't try too hard to encourage, because I think that we can work so hard at trying to encourage someone that we actually cause confusion.
We can pump them up with a false enthusiasm.
Yeah, and so really just being careful to allow the Holy Spirit to use you as the vessel and to speak the truth from the scriptures is the very most important part.
Yes, and now let's address the fact that we are a three-part being. And right now, there are so many people in the body of Christ and not in the body of Christ that are battling physical affliction, Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I know when I went through the year of sepsis, and when I went with you through the year of cancer, that sometimes the physical was so dominating because of the pain that it produced, that when someone tried to tell me something from the scriptures, it's like, look, I can't hear you right now. Don't you realize my pain is too intense? So I believe that when we have the prayer time in agreeing with the Father's mindset, that yes, we intercede for the cancers, for the afflictions, for the corona and the after effects of the corona, or for the pneumonia or whatever else may be going down. But we don't stop there, Sharon. We are a three-part being. So, Lord, I'm not saying that you've sent the corona to me as a punishment. No, but as it comes, then the Lord says, I can take this affliction and I can also work it for your other two parts of your body, for your soul and for your spirit. And Sharon, we need to give equal emphasis
in our prayer time
for praying for the whole person.
And I think that's important for every aspect, that we come to a place in our relationship with the Lord that no matter what physical, and this is scary to say, Janie, especially during this time in our economy, as you like to say, that no matter what physical condition, circumstance, experience that we are going through, that we have enough faith and trust and intimacy with God, that we know that whatever happens, just like Jeremiah, I mean, Jeremiah, he spoke truth no matter what.
Well, what you and I have talked about on other programs, and by the way, for the listening audience, Sharon and I will be doing a lot of remembering and repeating, because the Lord commands that in these days, that we have things said to us over and over again to it, instill it in our hearts. Because Sharon, our faith cannot function in fear. And we're trying to use both entities. We're fearful, we're overwhelmed, but we still say we believe in Jesus Christ. Well, okay, do we really? Or is the fear nullifying the faith to where it's like it's in vain?
You know, I tell my kids all the time that, you know, I've had them in my protective little bubble, you know? I keep them sheltered from a lot of the ugliness of the world, because I wanted them to be kids as long as possible.
That's good.
And, you know, there's some of us who grew up in situations and circumstances that we weren't sheltered for some things, that I wanted my children to be sheltered from some of the hardships of being an adult. You know, just be a kid and allow them to be kids. And I think that we've kind of been that way a little bit in the church. We've kind of been in this little bubble of the of a denomination or a body of Christ, that we do all these fun things, retreats and outreaches. And, you know, I'm including myself, so please don't think I'm pointing any fingers, because I've been here. I've been in this bubble that we shelter ourselves in.
Well, but Sharon, stop and look at the circumstances the church has been in. The church has been in a time and a season of great prosperity. And so we find that we react and respond to the circumstances around us. So I'm not going to excuse blindness, but when things are really, really good, we probably sit back and enjoy the pleasures of the surroundings and neglect being a student of the word. We are in bondage, slavery, when fear dominates us. So now
good.
We're having to wake up from
right.
our eating bonbons. You know, I love chocolate, but we have to wake up and say meat, protein that is necessary for a warrior to fight mm-hmm. what we're being mm-hmm. called to fight. So we're having a wake-up call, and we don't like it.
Yeah.
And we've used a lot of different little simple illustrations today.
And I think it's important to emphasize to not let the time just keep slipping away.
Oh.
We need to, you know, splash some water on your face and get up out of bed.
Well, and you know the one-liner that we've said for 4 years here, and that is that if God doesn't answer you in your time, mm-hmm. he will answer you in his time.
Yeah.
But in the meantime,
redeem the time.
Because it determines your destiny. It determines how you finish the race. It determines how you can be a wimp or be a warrior.
Right.
And I know that in military service, men and women fight, and we're getting to where they fight much more alike. We used to hold women to the desk jobs, and now they're back out fighting the, mm-hmm. in the fighter planes, and they're in out more active duty. But when I visit with people about what it's like to have a warrior's mindset, I get a polite smile and let's move on, or I get the deer in the headlights.
Well, and I think there's a lot of fear that comes with being a warrior. I mean, many of us would just rather sit behind the desk and do a desk job. There's not very many that want to get on the front lines and pick up the sword and put on the armor and go into battle, Janie. And that's scary stuff. And so I don't want to hear about it. So I'm just going to, it's not that I don't understand it, possibly. It's that, man, all that comes with that, I don't know that I'm willing or have the courage.
I understand it too well, some
yeah.
would say.
Yes.
All right. And so I will just settle for second best.
Yeah.
And the Lord knows that many will. Many are called, but few are chosen. And so how do we get this warrior's mindset if that is where the times that we're living in is demanding? And Sharon, I always have to go back to Psalms 19. Where the psalmist then said, please show me my hidden faults mm-hmm. and make known to me my presumptuous sins, that I might stand blameless before you, and let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord my God. Now, when we pray that, I can guarantee you 100%, if the heart is truly seeking that, just not as an intellectual statement, but as a heartfelt prayer, God is bound by his word to answer. Now, as the song used to go, hang on, Sloopy, because you're going to be in for a wild ride. God's going to show you hidden faults, and you're going to go, no, I don't have that. Oh, well, let me think this over a little bit. Oh, and where have I assumed or presumed that I was right with God because I said the right things about God because I
had
did
a
the
ministry?
Yes,
or,
yes. But that's one of the first things those little verses in Psalms 19, and before it tells you all the different aspects about the Word of God gives you.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fabulous, fabulous chapter to memorize, and it's short enough that you can memorize
yeah.
it. All right,
and that's Psalm 19.
Yes, and that dovetails with Psalms 119. So when you read Psalms 19, go over and just see how it dovetails to reinforce. So if someone doesn't learn anything from today's conversation, grow up, know that God is sitting anxiously ready to answer your request as you ask them according to his mind. And if you don't know where you are deceived or blind, go take Psalms 19 today.
Yeah. All right. Well, Janie, it is time that we wake up, that we grow up, and that we get some armor on and get into the battle.
And Sharon, that we're willing to be shook up for our eternal calling and are able to fight the fight here and now that is coming.
Amen. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today. This is Sharon Hoskins, along with Janie Ratzliff, saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.